This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is The Morning Run, and I'm Melissa Idris with Ibrahim Sani and Julian Ng. 7:35 right now, we were taking a look at the biggest business news of the day. One of the reports that crossed our desks was the consumer inflation report in China, which eased in May for the first time in 7 months. And this comes as food prices there fell.
Surprise, surprise. China, as with the rest of the world, is also trying to get inflation up. They achieved about 2-odd% when the target is about 3%. And I think 3% target these days, that's a hard sell, isn't it?
Yeah. And because of this, I think there is a policy on trying to improve on their credit. So the credit growth policy is right now well in the way. But, you know, I think there's another piece of news on food inflation. And I don't know whether this is a bad thing.
Yeah, but it's coming down. Food prices are coming down. You know, the D word, deflation, people don't like it, or at least policymakers don't like it, because it can result in companies closing down when they can't raise prices, and therefore it would have a bad impact on employment. But if food prices comes down, it doesn't really affect the larger economy. And I think it's not a bad thing, right? Food is cheaper for people.
So I guess what for me is, what does this mean for China? I mean, for all the doom and gloom watchers of China who say that China is on the brink of, a crisis in China, or you know, the slowdown is actually worse than what they allude it to be. Does this prove them right? Do the macroeconomic data show that perhaps China is in fact slowing down, and all the people who say the consumer sector in China is what's going to prop up the economy could be wrong?
Well, they're still achieving about 6% growth, but a lot of people are not believing the numbers. So George Soros, he is making bets that are against not only China, but world markets and the kind of money that is flowing into stocks and equities. He's poo-pooing that. And at the beginning of the year, he put a lot of money into gold and gold-related stocks. So right now, people are seeing a little bit more movement coming out of George Soros, or perhaps some statements coming out of him that he's going to make bigger trades to bet that we're going through a kind of crisis situation that is not unlike what happened in 2008.
Yeah, because he was the one who came out to say that it's China that's going to trigger the next world crisis, right? China, the situation there is very close to the debt-fueled crisis in 2008 in the US. So he says he's seeing lots of similarity, and now he wants to take bets to profit from that should it happen.
Yeah, that's right. And it's not just China. He was mentioning Brexit as well as pre-global financial crisis kind of moment. So I guess, you know, this taking bets against the grain is something new.
Well, I think that Brexit is not so worried about, which is really surprising, because the fallouts could be quite big, actually would be very big from Brexit. In fact, the bookmakers in the UK, that the odds of a Brexit have become higher for as far as the people making bets are concerned. So it really reflects the kind of sentiment that's going on in the UK. But also his hate of China is very well known. And there is at least one detractor of Soros's view saying that exports are stabilizing, and the decline in foreign exchange reserves have steadied. And also he's okay, this detractor of George Soros, who is a Bloomberg columnist actually, and is all plastered all over the newspapers today, right? He's saying that China is still growing at 6.2%. So that's pretty decent.
So the other thing with George Soros, now the reason why we know how he made all these moves is because, I think, was it in March when the fund managers had to disclose their positions? People saw where it was that George Soros was putting his money. And he had pulled out a significant amount from equities, and he had put them all into gold and gold-related stocks.
And he made a lot of money out of that. So he was right on that one. He bought this stock called Garrick, which is a gold miner. That's up 44%. He was bearish in China since 2013. That hasn't turned out to be quite right, not yet at least, because over that time period, the Hang Seng China Index has gone up about 10%, but it has fallen over 20% since the 2015 peak. So if China continues to fall at some some point in time, Soros is going to be right about what's happening in China. In Europe, he said in 2011 that it was akin to US's subprime. He was very wrong. Europe has returned 82% since 2011, but he was correct on the yen. He called for a yen tumble, and that did happen.
Okay, well, let's stick on the Chinese market, where Tencent is reportedly discussing the purchase of SoftBank's majority stake in the Finnish game maker Supercell. Now, this deal may value Supercell at $9 billion, which is far higher than what was initially predicted.
Yes, SoftBank, as we all know, is trying to sell off some of its holdings, Alibaba being one of them, and Supercell,
which is a tainted love, Jules, tainted love.
A blast from the past. Coming back to the future, Supercell is a maker of mobile games. You might have heard of Clash of Clans, Clash Royale, Heyday. Those are some of the games that they make, and you know, you'd be very surprised that out of this kind of games,
Supercell
makes about 2.6 billion a year in revenue.
Yeah, and this is one of those rare companies where a company actually makes revenue and can publish those revenues, because a lot of these startups, they don't normally disclose that kind of revenue to justify their valuation. And I think because of this, they have close to $1 billion of profit, they have close to $3 billion worth of revenues. They can kind of justify that $9 billion cost of valuation.
So I'm not a gamer of any kind. I don't play games on my smartphone. But I have heard of some of these bigger names like Clash of Clans, and apparently Heyday is a really popular one, a mobile farming game. But this must be a huge market, right? And growing, especially as we're kind of moving everything online and mobile onto our devices.
I mean, Heyday itself makes $134,000 a day.
A day?
A day, right? So I don't know how you pay for it. Do you pay for the app, or are there in-game
purchases? Yeah, so in-app
purchases. They have
purchases?
This freemium kind of structure. But one game that captivates a lot of minds includes this thing called the Massively Multiplayer Online Role-Playing Game, or MMORPG.
Yeah, that's very, very different from your cell phone games, because the MMORPG and I guess the cell phone games are two sub genres are very extremely different. One to cater for the people who don't want to get involved in MMORPG, which takes a lot of time. But you know, Star Wars The Old Republic is one of the most expensive MMORPG, $200 million to develop. And that sometimes is as much as it costs to develop the movie. You might have also heard of Final Fantasy in its various versions. That's about over $100 million to develop.
I have heard of that, yes.
Destiny, the budget to develop that is about $140 million, but a lot of these numbers are not available. World of Warcraft, I mean, it's very popular. That's over $60 million to develop. So a lot of money is required to develop these kind of things, and you have the entire ecosystem there with you're talking about a few hundred million players with some of this game. That's why they call these games massive, right?
Okay, and that's different from the kind of online mobile games that we're seeing.
Simple play,
right, you can play very quickly. Our Prime Minister, for example, according to Patrick Grove, likes to play Hangman for some reason.
So it was revealed at the Wild Digital Conference yesterday that Prime Minister Najib, when he's bored during meetings, he pulls out his phone and plays Hangman. Okay, there you go.
So maybe we should suggest some other games to the Prime Minister.
What about this Heyday thing? Maybe he might like some farming.
Okay. Yeah, if you have any ideas what PM Najib should play, tell us.
Hashtag tell BFM at BFM Radio is the number to tweet, or you can text us at 016-201-9000. Looking at other news, Danish utility company Dong Energy has become Europe's biggest IPO this year, and it soared as much as 12% after trading commenced yesterday. Investors were lining up to buy shares in this utility.
I guess this is a reflection of flight to safety. Dong is a utility company that specializes in alternative energy. So perhaps it would get some steady stream of income. And, you know, Europe is going through that negative interest rates phenomenon. Investing in a stable stock like that would give investors some degree of stable returns.
You know, at the end of the day, it's important to note that investors are still rushing for investments. For instance, Oman government sells a $2.5 billion worth of global bonds, and thus far the Middle Eastern government has raised about $20 billion from international debt markets. Now, this is already a record year for debt issuances. It also means that people are hungry for investments, and this is just one of them.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.